number 2. We're going to begin Acts chapter number 2. October 22nd is coming up rather quickly. Amen. 1 o'clock at Brother Green's, we will have a fellowship meeting. That is a dinner directly after service, or a meal provided directly after service. So please make arrangements to be there and enjoy a good time of fellowship. Amen. Praise God. Well, I feel good in the Lord today. I am thankful for His wonderful forgiving power.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. If you haven't asked God for forgiveness today, then you are definitely stronger than I am. Because I need His forgiveness
every day.
You are way bigger of a person than I am if you don't ask the Lord for forgiveness every day.
Amen.
So, well, I didn't do anything. You know what? David even said, "Forgive me of my hidden sin." And it wasn't that he was intentionally hiding sin. What it meant was that he was asking God to forgive me of the things that I'm not even aware of at this particular point of my life, that you either have not revealed to me or whatever. And because we all are in this flesh,
right,
we still got issues.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We still need the help of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I want God to help us.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. I want God to help us. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, I long for the day."
Amen.
See, well, we have the Holy Ghost fill the house. No, I want all the house. I want it to be so thick where it's blowing through here, and you can literally feel a lot.
Amen.
And I don't want it just every once in a while. I'd like to have it every time we step into these doors.
Amen.
And then it said, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all
filled."
And they were all
filled.
Everybody say all.
All.
Everybody say that means me.
That means me.
Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to preach to us, and I'm going to use this as a title. And of course, Lord's been dealing with me, and I'm going to go back to every Sunday morning preaching on doctrine. Pentecostal apostolic doctrine. That is repentance. That is Jesus' name baptism. That is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It is the oneness of God. All of those things. I'm going to get back to just preaching doctrine every Sunday morning. Lord willing.
Amen.
You know, I this was said a long time ago, and I had it on my door, taped on my door. Every single time I walked out my door is preach what you believe and believe what you preach.
Amen.
You're going to get what you preach.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You'll get what you preach.
Right.
So we preach doctrine. We preach infilling of the Holy Ghost. We preach forgiveness. We're going to get
Amen.
Those things. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to preach on revival. We're going to preach on soul winning. Guess what we're going to get? We're going to get revival and soul winning. Amen. 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 And so God bless you. You could be seated in Jesus' name.
I'm going to
save this before my wife gets home, but some of the ladies had already asked if Sister Newman would teach what she taught at this ladies' retreat. They did not record the first service, but one of the ladies recorded the second one and asked that it be put on the website. And they're asking some ladies in the, our ladies are saying, hey, can you do this again at home so we can record it and put the first part of it up on the website. Of course, I'd like to do that very soon and have her do that, but she doesn't know that. So y'all are going to be blessed because I'm going to tell you, going to do it again, you're going to do it soon.
Amen.
Amen. And so I thank God for that. And even though there was much adversity on her part, I thank you for her for your prayers for her. She had an extremely bad migraine headache the whole time and had to take nausea medication for it, but still was able to minister. Amen. The word of the Lord to those ladies. Maybe that'll help some of y'all out to say, no matter what, through thick and thin, I'm going to just be there for church anyways.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Sister Emma can work through a nausea, migraine, headache, and still teach a bunch of ladies. I think some of y'all can just bear with it and get here to church anyway, too.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That'll help you. That'll help you live for God, help you be strong. And don't forget what I said the other night about sometimes the enemy doesn't want you to be here. And
right,
so there
right.
are times, and I'm not magnifying the enemy by no means. He's a panty waste. If I can say it that way. He's a wimp. He's an insignificant piece of dirt.
How's that?
Nevertheless, he still can influence us. He can influence us, and especially if we get to the place where we're having that struggle on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday, on prayer night, of not getting to the house of the Lord, and it seems like it's always coming up during a church service, you got to understand your enemy doesn't want you to hear the word of the Lord. Doesn't want you to be influenced by God's Spirit.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And so he'll do anything and everything he possibly can to prevent you from being in the house of the Lord. Amen. And so we've got to do everything we possibly can to not let him influence us from not being in the house of the Lord.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. This is where my strength comes from. Amen. This is where I hear from God.
Amen.
Amen. And so as we dig into the word of the Lord here this morning, I'm just going to title this simply, Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? And we just read here, this was the day of Pentecost, one of the most awesome days in history. Amen. And is the very foundation of who and what we are, what we believe. Everything is surrounded around this scripture. Got a lady that's supposed to be coming. I'm surprised she isn't here this morning. If you do Costco or you do your prescriptions through Costco, you'll notice Maylene there that works the counter at the front. And she said she's going to come. And she's going to be here in church with us. And I'm excited about that. And it's been quite a while. We've been testifying to her and witnessing to her. And she told me yesterday that she's going to come. She said, I want to come. I may even be there tomorrow. So we're praying for her. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. You just never know who you're going to influence.
Right.
Man, I better stop right there or I'm going to get into tonight's message. All right. If we go into the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43, and verse number 18, it said, Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. God speaking here, I will do a new thing. This is a prophecy of the upcoming events of Jesus Christ. Amen. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in
the desert. It's not necessary. It's not talking and referring to something of the past, but it is using a reference of the past, making a way in the wilderness, being a river in the desert. Amen. Talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to do a new thing, and there's going to be a way made where there didn't seem to be any way. There's going to be a river of living water in a place that is a desert. Amen. Can anybody testify to that in your life today? That once you were in the wilderness, until Jesus Christ came into your life, and you're no longer wandering in the wilderness of sin.
Amen.
Can you testify to the fact that you were dry and barren at one time of your life, but living water came into your soul through the power of Jesus Christ, and no longer are you dry and thirsty anymore?
Amen.
Amen. There have been so many twisted ideas that need clarification. Amen. And I'm going to attempt to do that this morning. And I want to begin by talking about our concept of God. John chapter 4, verse 24 said, "Ye worship, ye know not what." Talking to that woman at the well. Amen. He said, "Ye worship, ye know not what." She was worshiping the one true God in her way, but she really didn't understand who she was really worshiping. There's a lot of folks today that are worshiping Jesus, worshiping God, but they really don't know who they're worshiping.
Right. Amen.
I've had it said many times before. Well, I'm a born-again Christian. I believe in Jesus. I worship Him, so on and so forth. But they still don't really know who they are worshiping.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, "We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Then it says, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Notice in this setting of Scripture that when it says that we got to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, it's little s. It's not capital S. But when it says God is a spirit, it's capital S, meaning deity. Amen. Talking about God, little s is our spirit. And we're going to get into that in just a few minutes a little bit more. Most people believe there is some sort of God or higher power.
Right.
Whatever they want to term the phrase, whatever they want to say, most people believe that there is some type of higher power or being. There are very few that do not, absolutely do not believe in a higher power or higher being. And therefore, many worship, but they know not what they worship. I'm drawn to the place where Paul was there standing on the hill there with all these idols around, and then he walks up to one monument that says "to the unknown God," and he said, "Hey everybody, I see you got all of these gods because you don't want to leave anybody out. You went ahead and you made another monument here that said to the unknown God, and this is the one that I want you to know about. I want you to know about this God, because you got the cow God over there, you got the sun God, you got the moon God, you got the fish God, you got all these other gods, but I want to preach to you about the unknown God."
Yeah.
I want you to have a revelation and an understanding of what you are worshiping.
Yeah.
You see, we're all worshiping something.
Right.
Everybody's worshiping something. And sometimes people don't even know what they're really worshiping. Therefore, it is important for us to understand what we worship. The Bible plainly tells us who God is. Let me say this. He is progressively revealed throughout the Bible. He is progressively revealed throughout the Bible. Old Testament, he was Jehovah God. Amen. New Testament, he is Jesus Christ. Amen. And it also refers to the Spirit. And that's what we're really going to be keying in on, mostly is about the Spirit. But the Bible also said that he is consistent in everything. For Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 6 said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So we can have an understanding today that he is the same, as the scripture said again, yesterday, today, and he'll be the same forever. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful to have an understanding and a revelation of who he is. But when we look at it from the biblical perspective, we see him progressively, him being God, progressively in fulfilling multifaceted roles throughout the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. However, God did reveal himself in various ways, multifaceted ways of relationship. Amen. He's not different persons, and we're going to talk some more about that. But he did represent himself or reveal himself in different ways of relationship, desiring to redeem all mankind. God clothed himself, robed himself in flesh, and became a man, which is also referred to in relationship to a lamb. Amen. Where John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." So we see Jesus in this relationship as a lamb before the whole entire world to be slain for the sins of all of humanity.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right? Okay, so we got this in relationship. Old Testament, God is a spirit. Therefore, he used the theophany. I don't want to get too deep in big words, but theophany, let me tell you what that is. Theophany is a temporary, visible manifestation of God to humankind. Okay. To humanity. Theophany is a temporary, visible manifestation of God to humanity. Genesis chapter 18, 1 and 2. Just quickly, and I'm going to give you a few little references and move on. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Merim, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. In verse 22, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord." The Lord revealed himself as an angel. In one instance, the Lord revealed himself through the voice and the mouthpiece of a donkey. The Lord has revealed himself as a pillar of fire at night, as a cloud by day. He's revealed himself as wind, as an earthquake, as a multitude of many other ways, but it is still God Almighty.
Yes.
And that's what needs to be understood more than anything. He is always going to be God Almighty. Whether he reveals himself in whatever type of manner he so chooses. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, one of our very favorite scriptures of the Old Testament, understanding who God is, said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Why we need clarification today is because too many people have tried to separate different types of relationships. That God is and God has been, and change him into different persons. He is not a different person. He's the one true almighty God with a relationship to some that is of a Father, of a Son, and of the Spirit, amen, of a strong and mighty tower, of a provider, of a healer, of a counselor. He can be whoever you need him to be, but it never makes him another person.
Right.
It never makes him another person. It just changes the relationship of who he is. Most others in this day and age are polytheistic or multi-God. They want to believe in a multi-personality, or excuse me, not multi-personality, but multi-person of God. Amen. You can say personality, I guess, if you wanted to. I don't know that that's really, because then that means he's bipolar. In today's society, we got all these, and that's dysfunctional, and that's a disease, and whatever, and whatever. And you say, well, bipolarism is a real deal, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I better not go in there. I just leave that one alone. I was listening to something the other day. I heard this on the radio, and there's a few colleges that are picking up on this thing, and you can't say stupid anymore, and you can't say crazy anymore. Anybody hear that?
I heard that. Yeah.
Did you hear that, Brother Dan?
I did.
I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me! And you can't say anything anymore that would offend anybody. And it's all in the name of being open with your thinking. You're so open-minded, your brains have fallen out. You can't say this crazy weather because that would be a... What was it? Something about you can't use the word crazy because... crazy would mean, and if you talk about it being crazy and changing so rapidly, that would insinuate that the weather is bipolar. That's where I got that. The bipolar, and then being bipolar isn't a bad thing. It's just it's just who you are.
You're the headache.
Yeah, they were trying to explain all this, and some colleges now are labeling themselves as colleges that won't tolerate any of these things because they don't want nobody to be offended. Well, I'm going to tell you what, life is offensive. Life is offensive. Life has its difficulties, and if you think that you're going to walk around in a little... the only one that should be walking around in bubble wrap is this young lady right here.
Until God heals her and takes care of her.
God will heal her.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, life is going to have injuries, and things are going to happen to you that are not going to be fair, and that are not going to be this, and so on and so forth. And what are we doing? We're raising a bunch of kids. Man, they need to go back to kindergarten.
Right.
They ain't ready for college if they can't get that through their head that life is going to be injurious sometimes.
Right.
It's not going to be a bed of daisies. It might be a bed of roses.
Right.
I don't know. Whoever said everything would be roses, because roses are mean.
Yeah, they got thorns.
They got thorns all over them. Daisies might be soft and cushy, but man, I don't want to have a bed of roses. Rose petals. Oh, is that soft? Okay, it's velvety. Okay. Well, then why did they say it? Rose petals. It's just a rose petals, not the rose. Because you got the petals, you got the thorn too. Now that's enough. For another day. Anyways, New Testament perspective, the following here are synonymous terms: Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, I don't care. You know, there's been this, well, we're not going to call it spirit, because we want to make sure that we're identified with the Holy Ghost. You know what? The Bible says Holy Spirit, too.
Right.
You know, it's just like we're getting so, even in the church, we've gotten so politically correct that we don't even want to call grace what grace is because of what others have done to grace. Well, let me tell you, let me remind you something. This house is a house of grace. This house is a house of mercy. And it's not a mamby-pamby type of grace. And we still believe in that. And we still believe in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Or whatever, however you want to coin it, it'll still be in the Bible.
Right.
We've gotten so concerned about what everybody else is doing that we quit preaching some biblical things that really are the churches. Grace is the churches. Grace is apostolic. Something stupid with it doesn't mean we got to do something stupid with it.
Amen.
Just because it said Holy Spirit, just because they go off crazy on something doesn't mean we can't say it's the Holy Spirit that's living and ruling and reigning inside of you. Okay. Pull it together. Don't be confused. Not whether it says spirit or whether it says ghost. Both are the same when you look at it in the Greek. Okay? So now we're going to go back to the Greek. When they use Holy Spirit, when they use a Holy Ghost, it meant the same thing. I don't remember how to say this word, but it's something like pneumonia. It's P-N-E-U-M-A. Whatever. Okay?
That's what it's pneumonia.
I ain't no Greek scholar. Y'all were aware of that already, I'm sure. But that word means wind, means breath, means current of air. All right? So when it said ghost or spirit, it's meaning breath. It's meaning wind. It's being that current of air. That's why it said, and on that day of Pentecost, it came in as a rushing mighty
wind.
So the Spirit was that, it described it to what we physically could know what the Spirit was like. It was like wind. Got it? Okay, so we can't get confused and get all messed up with all this kind of stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. All right? Who hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we have a ministry of reconciliation as Jesus had a ministry of reconciliation. He became the mediator.
That's right. Right.
Robed in flesh.
Yep.
The one that stood between God and man, reconciling them together. Why? Because God's full intention from the very beginning was that he could come down in the cool of the day and have a conversation one-on-one with you and me.
Amen.
His whole purpose and whole will, whole mindset is that we can have a fellowship one with another on a very personal level. So what does he do? He robes himself in flesh. He becomes a man. This is a relationship. And he has to become the ultimate sacrifice in order to take away the sins of the world. Why? So that we can have a relationship again with this God, with Almighty God. Okay? So then he goes on to say, and then, now I want you to understand real quick. So Jesus had this ministry of reconciliation, and it was transferred to us, and now has become our ministry of reconciliation because His Spirit lives on the inside of us. So I have the same responsibility that Jesus did because God's Spirit is on the inside of me, that every sinner that I meet, everyone that does not, my God, have mercy, have the Spirit of God. I am now the reconciliation factor between God and that sinner to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ because of His Spirit now on the inside of me. I now have the same ministry that Jesus had.
Yeah.
You got it?
Oh, yeah.
You got it. Yeah. Somebody's done it. Several others didn't get it. But you got it, Brother Dan. I have that ministry.
Amen.
Right.
We always put that over there to Jesus, but when He filled me with His Spirit, when I have God on the inside of me, I now have the same responsibility of reconciling every sinner to God. And then it said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. It's all about God. It's all about God. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, again, He's saying it again. Just in case you missed it the first time, He's saying, okay, I'm going to tell you again. And committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, there's some power there when you really stop and you think about this. He didn't just say it once, but He said it back to back to make sure that we understood that His same of Jesus Christ in this relationship and all that was going on there is the same thing. He was being the example. Let me say it like that. You know, because God is such a perfect teacher, He didn't just say, do this, but He said, watch me do this. Yeah. And then mimic me afterwards.
Right. Yeah. That's right, Pastor.
That's a good teacher because He's saying, I'm not just going to tell you what to do. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to become the epitome thereof. And then I want you to mimic me afterwards and forever.
Yes.
So God, who is a spirit, was in Christ. Jesus was God incarnate. What does incarnate mean? It means to represent in a bodily form. God was just representing Himself in a bodily form. When Jesus died on the cross, the flesh, God's Spirit left for 3 days. Where did He go? Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Notice how beautiful this scripture is, and that's one of the scriptures we're going to get into. That He doesn't leave just a He doesn't leave anything out. He doesn't let anything just be done solo. He reached back into the New Testament and He said, I've given you an example. As He was 3 days in the deep, Jonah was 3 days in the deep, so is the Son of Man. I'm giving you an example of the Old Testament, and I'm tying it in with the New Testament. I'm tying it in with where I'm at today. Ooh-wee. I'm going to the heart of the earth. Mark 4 and 58 said, we heard Him say, I will destroy. Oh, God. You've got to get this right here. I want you to hear me. We heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands. And within 3 days, I will build another made without hands. What is the revelation of that setting of Scripture? Let me tell you simply this. He said, when I will build another temple, it's going to be made without hands. He was talking about this great church, this great body of Christ Jesus. I'm going to build it. He said, I'm going to build another temple, but it ain't going to be brick and mortar like you think. It's going to be a temple made without hands.
Yes.
Hang on a second. I'm going to get to it in a minute. Revelations 1:17 said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He wanted us to know that when I spent 3 days in the heart of the earth, amen, I conquered death and hell. And now I have some keys to your victory. I have some keys to your salvation. Jesus went to the devil for the keys.
Yeah.
Didn't stop there. As soon as he rose up out of the grave, hey, Joel, come here. Pay attention. Boy, come here. Hurry up. Jesus, come on up here. Jesus comes up out of the grave and he starts revealing himself, and he has some keys in his hands, and he said, but it ain't going to do me any good, because I already told Peter that he's going to take. That he's going to have the keys. I went down into the heart of the earth, and I took over, and I conquered death, hell, and the grave. So death and hell has no more victory. So that it has no more power. I've got it all right here. And now I'm not keeping it, but I'm handing it over to Peter. And that's why Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, take that key, boy.
Lord, have mercy. I'm going to beat you in the chest with the key.
Peter took that key and he began to preach on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And he shall. He didn't do that until he himself got the Spirit. That's when all the authority and everything in the spirit realm came together.
That's right.
And he realized that's the key right there.
Right.
And so once he got it, when he received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, that key was in his hand.
Right.
Now it did him no good to stick it in his pocket.
Right.
No good to stick it in his pocket. And some of us, that's exactly... That's exactly where we got our key. I said, that's exactly where we got our key. We got our key stuck inside of our pocket instead of using it like Peter did. He said, I gave you a key and I gave it to you for a reason. Not to go, hey, I got the key. No, use the key and go unlock something in somebody's life. Go into somebody's world and unlock Jesus in their life. Go unlock salvation in their world. Turn their world upside down and watch them be delivered by the power of the Spirit. He didn't give you a key to stick in your pocket. He gave you a key to go and unlock. Unlock. Unlock salvation to the sinner. God's Spirit filled humanity on the day of Pentecost. What a phenomenal day in history. We can trace it from Genesis to Revelation, from the first page to the last page. Genesis 1 and 2 said the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Revelations 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. From the beginning to the end, in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's the same God that moved upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the deep, all the way to revelations of the same Spirit that said, come, is the same Jesus Christ that we read in Hebrews, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. One awesome, unchanging, eternal God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I think some of y'all get more excited about getting your squeegee caught in your suspenders than you are about this word. If you don't know where that's from Mr. Riley on Odyssey. Pretty exciting getting your squeegee caught in your suspenders. He was a window cleaner, okay?
Yeah.
He was cleaning his windows and got caught in his suspenders. And it's exciting, you know? Caught your suspenders, something might happen. Some people that don't trust anything, they wear a belt and suspenders just in case one fails.
Right.
Lord have mercy. Well,